Okay, so welcome everyone. I have the pleasure of introducing Andrew Cram, who is one of our talented PhD students at the School of Education at Macquarie University, and he's going to talk to us about Web 2.0 and how we can work towards an affordance perspective. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, hi there. Thanks for all joining me here today. I'd like to start off by stressing the contribution of Andreas and Debbie. I think they did most of the hard yards for this research, so it's been a pleasure to work with them. I don't think I need to give much introduction to what Web 2.0 is all about. Essentially characterised by user-generated and co-constructed content. There's a broad range of interaction models involved in the way individuals form the communities. If you think of YouTube, Delicious, and wikis, they all work, and the people interact in very different ways. However, what's pretty common amongst Web 2.0 technologies is that the contents can be developed collaboratively. So there seems to be an intuitive match between Web 2.0 technologies and collaborative learning. However, at the moment there's no clear guidelines around what particular technologies to use in which situations. There's a bit of work to be done with providing frameworks for learning designers to get this match happening effectively. We started out doing a pilot case study. This is really a precursor for a fair bit more research, but we've selected a course at Macquarie that provides a wiki to students that has the aim of supporting collaboration. And this course was recently redesigned using the Activity Systems Framework. I'll just quickly take you through that framework. Developed by Engstrom in 1987, and it's essentially about collaboration, how a common objective is achieved through the interactions of individuals in the group. This framework was developed by Engstrom, and certainly the easiest way to explain what it's all about. Got the subject. The subject can be an individual or a group. It's got varying levels of detail. And the subject is acting on the object in order to get some sort of outcome. It's a mediated action. In other words, the action is mediated through the instruments of production, which could be physical or psychological. And it's also mediated by the rules and customs held by the community, the community itself, and the division of labour, which essentially describes the roles and responsibilities of the community members. What is a critical aspect of this to understand is that the activity system emerges from the combined actions of all the individuals involved. The common purpose provides general guidelines for their actions, but each individual in the activity system has the flexibility to come up with their own goals and choose how to accomplish them. So with that brief overview of the activity system, we'll come back to that in more detail later on. Back to just some quick details about the pilot case study. So as I mentioned, a Macquarie Uni third year computer project unit. If you're looking for more information on this, refer to the LAMS paper. The course was supported and really created around the use of the track software development project support system. For the purposes of this research, the critical aspect is that there was a wiki provided to support the collaboration. Again, if you want more information about Trek, refer to the paper or the website, I think on the last page. Data was collected from reflective journals, the system logs, and the group wiki pages. And we were focusing on how the team members and groups collaborated using the wiki. Found that that we could place the groups into five categories. There was one group that had technical issues with the track system and were given special dispensation to use other systems, so couldn't gather any further data on that. The groups in category two used the wiki to simply send messages between group members. Most populated category, category three, the groups used the wiki to both send messages and exchange files. They'd upload files and other people could download them. Still pretty simple usage. The groups in category four, three of them, they were a little more, well, they were quite a bit more sophisticated. They adapted the wiki to create a portal to other parts of the track system as well as other resources. And the postings were still predominantly made by a single team member. So not a lot of evidence of collaboration going on here either. Finally, the sole representative of Category 5, they created personalised sections with contributions from multiple team members. And they were really the only one who extended the wiki and used it as a collaborative space. So I think that's the interesting thing to take away from this. Should also be noted that some groups used tools that were external to the track system, and so we couldn't gather data on them for this project. So why didn't the students use the wiki for collaboration? It prompts a few questions. These basically boil down to the need to explore the extent to which students perceived value in using the track wiki for collaboration. Do they see collaboration as useful in their learning? That sort of thing. So to further explore these questions, we need to support the activity framework, the activity systems framework, with something which better supports analysis of how groups and individuals in the groups perceive and interact with technology. For this, we turn to the idea of affordances. Now, originally, well, the two kind of founding fathers are Gibson and Norman. And essentially, the idea of affordances allows exploration of the possibilities of action. And it allows a closer look, a more detailed analysis of how individuals perceive, what affordances do they perceive in technology, and how do they use these in their interactions. So revisiting those five categories of use, we see that Team 1 used no affordances within the wiki. Team 2 was communication affordances, groups in category 2. Then on to file sharing affordances. When we come to 4 and 5, we can note an interesting thing of affordances is that they're aggregatable. The teams here used the affordances that were used in the lower numbered categories and actually use them in a more sophisticated way. So these are currently fairly basic results, and we'll be seeking to greatly extend them with further research. In order to do that research, we've come up with a more sophisticated framework, which I'll now go into. So what we have is activity theory to emphasise the socially mediated aspect of group work, and the idea of affordances to emphasise the interactions between the individual and the technology. So first of all, we updated the activity systems framework for this specific case. Have the learner on the left, working on learning artifacts, hopefully working towards the intended learning outcomes of the course. Web 2.0 tools pervade the activity, and the collaboration occurs between the learner, the community, and is aimed towards the learning artifacts. Underpinning all of this are the affordances of the Web 2.0 technology. As I briefly said before, each individual in the activity system is selecting which affordances to use to achieve their goals. And so the activity system it emerges from the collective use of the affordances of the technology. So from here, Andreas is going to conduct a series of case studies throughout 2009 and beyond to capture detailed descriptions of how students collaborate, or not, through the affordances relating to Web 2.0 technologies. His ultimate aim is to provide a learning design tool that assists the matching of Web 2.0 technologies to the desired learning outcomes. Now, at this stage, I'll invite Andreas down to give you the opportunity to add anything that I haven't covered. Yeah, okay. And I'll open the floor up to questions, comments, advice. It's early stages, so we'd love to hear what you think of the framework. I might go back up to it if I can. And yeah, if I can answer any questions, fantastic.
Just in summary, is this asking the students whether they think collaboration is important, or is that the intention of what you're aiming at, or is that
when the students approach the technology, they'll have an idea of what they want to do. Collaboration may be part of that, so it is part of it. Yeah, it's the way the students intend to use the technology, the value they see out of the different uses. Now, if they aren't valuing collaboration, then I think we need to step a bit before that and work on that first. If they are valuing collaboration, then let's look at what. How they'd like to use the technology in order to do that. Also look at how the teacher would foresee how the technology can support the student learning. Yeah.
So, to what extent are you looking at how and why students use particular affordances, and how are you going to get from that to the design framework for teachers and using? Is there a progression between one and the other? Or?
For that one, I'll pass over to Andreas. If I may.
What we were thinking was to identify the possible affordances first, but we framed the affordances some way of categorizing it. It would be interesting, though, to see. We have a little bit of discussion earlier today. So when, let's say, you know, in designing a sequence in LAMPS, for example, when a teacher actually put up a certain activity within a sequence, and then would be interesting if the system that can then support the teacher to choose what the tools to support those particular activity that have an appropriate affordances to enable students to do what. For example, if we say collaborate as an activity, would be then pull out a list of tools that support collaboration to some degree. Of course, it's a little bit of stereotyping certain tools, but then it has an informed decision effect to the teachers rather than just blindly pick up whatever tools that he or she think may think appropriate. So at that point would be the goal at some point. If there's any feedback you would like to give before.
I'll just a comment on that actually. I actually work on labs and the tools are actually color-coded. They're actually, if I'm not mistaken, some of them are kind of color-coded distinctively to promote collaboration. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could check that out. That probably could be interesting for what you were asking and mentioning.
Would you like to go into a bit more detail about how LAMPS might be used in this regard?
Well, I mean, basically, it's just if you're looking to promote collaboration, well, there are some tools in LAMPS that are basically set there, which are take part in the whole collaboration kind of category.
Yep.
That's all I wanted to say.
No. For me,
you're aware of the technology.
No, I'm just. I was going to guess there. Well, you go into more detail there.
It's just an approach I did because it was the framework that I used when I did my master's on. Because it was in the early days of doing internet usage, and it was sort of looking at why students use the internet, and the basis of was the technology perspectives approach. And I can't remember at this stage now, so just the past, who the authors of that approach were. But it seems like there's a similarity between the technology perspectives approach and your affordances. I just wondered if you looked at it.
I haven't, and I'll write it down and look more into it. The reason why we're looking at the affordances approach is to try and find or to compare and contrast the affordances between different technologies. So it gives us flexibility with the level of description of different technologies. Now that might be supported by the technology perspective as well, but that's why we've gone for this approach.
And that approach, it had around about sort of 7 or 9 different sort of areas, and then you sort of categorise usage into sort of one of these different technological perspectives, basically.
Right.
And you sort of had some that were preferable for different styles and learners and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it seems like there's a similarity.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely look into that. Thanks.
So can we all thank Andrew again for his presentation? So our next presenters are Tomoyo Yamazumi and Nagoya Boni and Satoru Yoshida from Data Pacific Japan. We can just wait for a little while because this session isn't officially meant to start till 12:30.